And as you watch these specials for seeds, what's in a seed, as I was watching and I was thinking, because if you just have a clear package of seeds, you don't know what it is. If you plant it in the ground and it grows, then you'll see what it is. And what does it do? Well, it has a temporary life, right? It grows, and then it blossoms. And in the case you like tomatoes, and you got big tomato plants out there, and Dolores loves tomatoes, and so we always plant some, and we get these heirloom tomatoes, the big ones, you know, like that, to where you can take and make a thick slice, and then take two slices of bread and put your Miracle Whip on both slices, and you just have that one tomato slice in there, and it is so good. Yeah, ooh, that's good. Okay? So I was watching one of these specials on redwood and sequoia trees. Now, they only grow in a certain place in California and in Nevada. Now, the sequoia trees are amazing. They have some trees that they estimate there to be pretty close to 2,000 years old. And so I was thinking when I was visiting with Ron and Aaron Carey, and we were going over the website. There are webmasters for CBCG, and they take care of everything and post it all up so everyone can have everything to use and read and listen to. And his son specializes in rare seeds. And so he's gotten some rare wheat and rye and barley. And he specializes in chickens. And so recently he sent off to Iceland for a couple of fertilized eggs. And they pack them up nice and easy, ready to go, and they ship them 2-day air. And he put the eggs under the incubator. And he got them because the Iceland chickens have kind of a down under their feathers, which keeps them warm. Because, you know, if you're a chicken in Iceland, you got to stay warm, right? And he noticed that these chickens that come from different parts of the world, he's going to try and get some Siberian chickens, and I'm going to ask him, can you please get them without the leg chains on them? Got to get out of the captive camp. He said that they have instincts of doing things that other chickens don't, that are the result of the, how would you say, factory chickens in America. Okay? And then he showed me one thing that was really astonishing. We'll come back to that a little later. But he showed me this wheat that he had. So he brought in 4 stalks of wheat that were from one root system, and the wheat kernels were about this long at the top, about 6 inches at the top. And we'll find this interesting a little later when we get to Matthew 13. But he says these have 60 or more seeds per stalk. And he said, and these 4 stalks came from one seed. So you remember what Jesus said to bring forth? Here's 240-fold. Isn't that amazing? So what is in a seed? Now let's come back here to Genesis 1, because this is where it all started. And it shows that God is creator, God is designer, God has given perpetuation of their own kind in life within their own seeds, be it plants, other creatures such as birds, crawling things, mammals, and human beings. So let's talk about how he said here, and everyone after its own kind, right? That's a key and important thing. Now, we'll do just a little sidebar here. We'll come back to this a little later. What is the problem with seeds that we have today? Genetic modification. Okay? And I think it was Dennis was telling me about the wheat, the Midwest. Yeah, you were telling me. For commercial purposes. Now, years ago, they had the wheat, which would be in the fields, and it would wave back and forth, you know. Now they only grow about 16 inches tall. And they have big, juicy grains on them, full of gluten. Now, let's look at something that's a principle here. God made it the way he made it, and there can be some crossbreeding of different things to come up with different variations, which is fine as long as it's done properly. Okay. And these GMO foods today don't do that. They're just thick sticks of stalks, so they can come in with the machinery and cut it down and harvest. Okay. Now, what happens with genetic modified foods? And then add into that microwaves and other things that they do, okay? Is it food? Now, spiritually, we can draw a comparison, can't we? God has given the real thing, right? God has made it. God has put into the seed everything it needs to be to reproduce and to bring forth and to serve mankind and everything else he has created. Because he's given all plant life for all species and animals and so forth, whether they are carnivorous or whether they're vegetarians, herbivores, or what's the one that eats both? Omnivores. Okay, thank you. For food. And he made our system so it can digest and take out all of the components that are in there. And of course, until recently, we didn't know what was in, you know, what made what, except it was good food. Now we can draw an analogy with that. Here God made the perfect plant, or we can say for human beings with Adam and Eve, the perfect human beings in the flesh. So here comes along Satan the devil, and his program is, let's GMO what God has made. Okay? Now just think on that, and we'll come back to that a little later. Okay? But let's begin with men. Okay? Now, let's pick it up here. Chapter 1 and verse 24. God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, livestock, creeping things, the beast of the world, of the earth, each after its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after their kind. Notice everything is after their kind, after their kind, after their kind. And livestock after their kind, and every creeping thing upon the earth after their kind. And God saw that it was good. Now let me ask you a question. God made all of these with laws to function. Laws of reproduction, etc. Now, as I mentioned, there can be certain legitimate hybridization and crossbreeding to affect food and animals as long as they leave the seed in it and it can reproduce itself. So then he said concerning man, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the heaven, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that crawls upon the earth. And God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he them. He created them male and female. Man needs a woman, woman needs a man, and for same-sex marriage, how are you going to reproduce? Well, Satan has GMO that he's going to do. He's going to steal. What they're trying to do is steal the stem cells so they can make artificial human beings. See? And there you have one sin leads to another sin, correct? All right? And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea. God is not chintzy. God is not a miser. He gave mankind the whole earth. How's that? What is the best present that you ever received in your life? Well, that is the life that came from God. Okay? Now then, after creating Eve, then he married them, put them in the Garden of Eden, told them what to do. But they didn't want to do it. Man has a perversity. And they were the most perfect in the flesh. But even if you're perfect in the flesh, you were deficient before God. So Satan comes along, and you know what he said. He said, if you eat of this tree, which God told you not to eat of, and you know he's really hiding something from you. See, God doesn't want you to have any fun on your own, you know. But he's trying to keep you from knowledge. But if you eat of this fruit, you will become like God to decide good and evil. Now, what was the result of the seed, symbolically, of eating? Sin. And sin was passed into all human beings because of that. However, that didn't stop God. God created in mankind the power to reproduce through male and female. And so, the best way to check out your humility, if we can bring that along with Russell Kemp's sermonette, is this. We've done this before. Take a pen, put it on a piece of paper, and make a dot. That's how big you were when you were conceived. Everything that you would become is in that little speck. And God provided the means of developing and bringing to birth. But once you're brought to birth, then you have a whole new existence, living and breathing air and eating food and growing and so forth. The whole story of life in the womb is another one, you know. And so here we all are. We've all gone through that, correct? And it's he put within us the reproductive process to produce our own family, our own children. And furthermore, so gracious was God in that, that we could make children after our kind, after our likeness, as a blessing from God. And so, let's carry this forward and ask again, what's in a seed? Now, I didn't finish that with redwood and sequoia, but I had Ron Carey order for me 4 packages of sequoia seed. And I know I can look on the package and see what it will be, but if I put it down on the table and just think about what is in that seed, just like what was in that speck when you were conceived, everything you need to be what God created there. And so marvelous is that, that no two human beings, even identical twins, are the same. And you bring that all back to Adam and Eve and ask the question, where do the genes and chromosomes come from? God made them. For all plants, for all life, for all animals, for all human beings. And since God is not making robots, there are no two human beings the same. Okay? Now let's begin to talk about the spiritual seed. Because this is where we want to come. Let's come here to Genesis 15. Now, because of the sin of Adam and Eve, the knowledge of God's plan for mankind was deferred. Though right after their sin, the prophecy of the coming Messiah was given to them. And they didn't have much knowledge about what God's plan was. Because part of the penalty was The knowledge of that, instead of being given to them right there in the Garden of Eden, would be revealed a bit by bit by bit as God in his wisdom and plan decided to reveal it. So the first revelation that gives us some understanding when we come to this and look at it with some of the other scriptures is in Genesis 15, when God gave the promise to Abraham. Okay? Now let's look at it this way. As newly conceived in the womb and growing up to the time of birth, about the only thing that a child born knows how to do is nurse and cry and have the bodily facilities work. Right? And men are really incompetent at handling that last bit. That baby had no clue where it came from, had no knowledge because it hadn't learned anything yet. So it has to be fed, start out properly with mother's milk, and that's a blessing. And that helps nourish the child. And the child grows. And, you know, children, all of a sudden, then, boom, the teeth pop out, and, you know, and they get bigger and bigger and bigger, and the parents get older and older, and the children get older and bigger. And after a while, then our own children are bigger than we are, and they look down on us. Hi, Dad. You know, see? And then, lo and behold, they get married and so forth, and that's how the human race got down to this point. Okay? But human beings, not knowing why God created them, didn't understand why they were made the way that they were, and didn't understand why they were made in the image of God, even if they believed that. Okay? So that's a pretty special thing, isn't it? Now, why did God make all of the chimpanzees and apes nearly like us? The evolutionists think, oh, well, yeah, look, we came from them. Uh-huh. That's to prove that there is nothing really that can be substituted for God's creation of human beings, correct? Some people spend years testing the intelligence of apes. Well, God put a certain intelligence in them, and they can respond and do certain things. Okay? Now then, here's what God promised Abraham. And even in this, this was his start. He didn't know what it was going to be like. He didn't know how long this would go. But God gave him the beginning point and the ending point. And by the way, this happened on the Passover night, when you understand it. And what is the Passover? That's the covenant for eternal life. So you see, now what we're finding the Word of God is also, we'll see a little later, like a seed. And what's in a seed? And how does the Word of God come together? And how much does it tell us? So you see, this can be expanded tremendously. So then, at 75, he had no children, and Abraham thought, well, you know, my servant here, he could be my son. God said, no, it won't be. Verse 4, this man shall not be your heir, but one that shall come forth out of your own loins shall be your heir. Now, the reason God waited so long and so old, and after this promise, it was 25 years until Isaac was born. Now, notice verse 5. Isaac was the start. And he brought him outside and said to him, look now toward the heavens and number the stars, if you're able to count them. And he said to him, so shall your seed be. What is in a seed? Let's go forward. Let's come to Genesis 22. He gave the promise again. And so great was the promise that it expanded beyond his family into Isaac and Jacob, and the 12 tribes, and then it expands beyond that to all human beings once we come to the New Testament. But notice how this is just a little different here after he passed the test of the willingness to offer his son as a burnt offering. Now we find in the book of Hebrews that Abraham was willing to do that because he knew that God could bring him back to life. Okay? Now then, just as he was ready to take the knife and slit Isaac's throat, chapter 22, verse 11, and the angel of the Lord called to him from the heavens and said, "Abraham, Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." I guess so, you know. Remember, he said, "That was your only son whom you love." And he said to him, "Do not lay your hand upon the lad, nor do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." That excluded Ishmael. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and there was a ram, took the ram, sacrificed that, then called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." Now, verse 15. Now, let's understand something. If God says something once, it is true and will happen. When he swears by himself, you can have no greater guarantee that it will take place than that. So here's what he did. Called out to him a second time and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, that in blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your seed like the stars of the heavens." Now notice the reverse. First it was physical seed, then the stars of the heaven represent the spiritual seed, the ultimate result of physical seed, right? Now here he starts out guaranteeing the spiritual seed. So again, I will ask the question, what's in the seed? Okay? "And as the sand that is upon the seashore," which is what? The physical children. And when you count all the generations, all the way down through history, it's an innumerable amount. All right, and we know what happened with the rest of that. Now let's come forward to the Word of God. Let's come to Matthew 13. Matthew 13 is very interesting. No, let's go to Galatians 3 first. Okay? Galatians 3, then we'll come back to Matthew 13. Now this is important, especially living in the divided world that we live in today. There are so many different things going on, so many movements, so many people, so many causes. And so let's understand how God looks at us when we're called into the church of God. And we'll talk about the Holy Spirit, which is the seed from God. And again, we'll ask, what is in the seed? All right? Now let's pick it up here in verse 26. "Because you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Now, unfortunate translation and understanding by the Protestants is that we will be adopted. That is not true. It is called sonship. Romans 8, we'll see it here in just a minute. The sonship of God. Now, that's pretty heavy stuff. Now notice this, "For as many as were baptized into Christ, put on Christ," that is, the dressings of Christ, and we'll see later, the mind of Christ. Now these next verses are very important, and very important in the church to understand, okay? "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Now that is for the opportunity for salvation. "And if you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise," that we just read, guaranteed by God himself, sworn on his own existence. Now that's how sure we can anchor our faith to. Now, little sidebar we need to understand, because at the conference we covered a great deal of this, and so you will be getting the message that I gave yesterday afternoon concerning this. When you come to the church of God, and when you are converted by baptism and receiving of the Holy Spirit of God, what are you? Jew? Greek? Chinese? Japanese? Indian? African? What are you? Well, in the flesh, that's what you are. But with the Spirit of God and our being together as brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to learn a very important lesson. I'll explain it to you this way. My experience has been, whenever a Jew comes to our congregation, we've had through the years a couple of Jews come, and they always come up to me sometime either before or after services or whatever, and they say, I'm a Jew. And I've never answered back nastily, in a nasty fashion rather, but I'm almost tempted to say now, why did you say that? You think you have something special over other people? Or someone comes in and says, well, I'm Latino. Really? Or come in and I've had blacks tell me, well, I'm black. Well, that's obvious. I don't know how many blacks have had white people come up to them and say, I'm white. Now, the reason I bring this up is because, please, in the churches of God, do not bring in ethnic and racial politics into the church. Now, there have been some who are disappointed in me that I tell the truth about our illustrious president. And I'm mean and nasty because I'm a racist. That's political behavior which has no bearing within the church, okay? A Jew has no advantage. A Greek has no advantage. No ethnic has any advantage. But the advantage is conversion, okay? And the future sonship. Because whatever we receive from the seed of our parents is going to be totally overridden and of being inconsequential when we are raised from the dead. All right, so let's go forward with this. Now let's come to Matthew 13. Did you know that you have right before you one giant seed? Ever think of it that way? Okay, Matthew 13. Very interesting. You know the parable. Now we're going to learn a few extra things out of this that we didn't connect before. Some we've known, but let's go over it again. Okay? Verse 10. Now even the disciples didn't understand it. His disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to them in parables? So he answered and said to them, I want you to listen carefully why you are not to bring in politics of the world. Listen, all of the politics in the world, beginning with the religious leaders, with the popes, all of the Protestant leaders, all the religious leaders of the world, all of the bankers, all of the businessmen, everybody, everywhere are spiritually blinded. And when they get so corrupt, there's nothing you can do when lawlessness abounds. So let's not bring that in. Remember this very important spiritual lesson. You cannot solve spiritual problems by political or physical means. Are not all our problems spiritual? Are not all of them the result of breaking the laws of God? Regardless of who and what you are as a physical being, and in some of the political things that they bring out some truth, but that won't solve it because mankind cannot solve his own problems and mankind cannot understand how to live his life or her life without the Spirit of God. Now, they may come close, But all of the Protestant religion is GMO religion, because they have had it genetically modified with their ideas. All right, let's read it here. This is important. And think about this, that we have the whole Bible. We have the whole Word of God. How much responsibility does that lay upon us today in this age and in this time? A great deal of responsibility, because Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is expected. And lots of time people look at that and say, yeah, that applies to the minister. No, it applies to all of us. It applies to every one of us. See? Notice this blessing, a gift from God. Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. To know the plan of God. Now, how many have watched Waters World on Bill O'Reilly? Another little disastrous sidebar I need to bring to your attention. Fox News contains about between 50 and 80% truth of what's going on. If you don't watch it, you don't have a clue. If you watch only ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, PBS, etc., they're all in the grips of Satan, the devil, lock, stock, and barrel. And unless there is some spiritual repentance by a lot of people, Hillary and Billary will occupy the White House again. And if you think it's bad now, wait. Those who are in the church cannot rise up and go out and vote and change a thing. Now, you may be able to vote for lower taxes and help that, but that's about all you can do. Okay? You have the blessing of knowing the kingdom of God and what's going to happen. And we were also told to watch, and some idiot in the journal said, it doesn't mean to watch when it says watch. Little GMO to the Word of God, right? You know. Okay. But to them it has not been given. They're the blind leading the blind. They're going to fall in a ditch. Whatever understanding, or rather, for whoever has understanding, to him more shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. Is that true? Do we have an abundance? What should we do? Do like the farmer who had a great crop and said, oh, look at what I got. I got to build me barns and stack it all up here. Say to my soul, sit back, kick back, relax. What did God say? Tonight, you're going to lose your life. We've got a lot given to us, right? Too much is given, much is expected. Think about the next time you tell yourself, another little sidebar over here. Next time you tell yourself, I'll do this or won't do that, won't do the other thing. Remember what Jesus said? Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Okay? Just between you and your brain and your inner talking. How many times have you talked yourself out of a no or a yes after you have said yes or after you have said no? Especially when the dessert looks so good. That true? Oh, yes. Today was one of those days, wasn't it? Okay. Now notice verse 12. For whoever has understanding, to him more shall be given. How? If he or she applies him or herself, right? Yes. And he shall have an abundance. But whoever does not have understanding, even what he has, shall be taken from him. And that's what's happening in the world. And if you ever watch Waters World on Bill O'Reilly's Factor, he goes out and none of the millennials know anything. They know nothing. They are ignorant, raised on, how should we say, GMO Gerber's intellectual food from Satan, the devil, to make your mind worthless and to be a tool and a palm of Satan's hand. That's where the young people are today, all right? And that extends up to 30 or 40 today. Verse 13, for this reason I speak to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, in hearing you shall hear and no way understand, and seeing you shall see and no way perceive. That's what we have. How many billions of Bibles out there? How many people have Bibles? How many think that Sunday is the Sabbath? How many think that all the holidays of the world are of God? All genetically modified. All avoiding the Word of God. Twisting and turning the Word of God. Okay? Now notice God's judgment upon them. For the heart of this people has grown fat. Their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their hearts and should be converted and I should heal them. Jesus is saying, I either want you converted or non-converted. And if you don't believe that, read about the Laodiceans. Okay? Now this also tells you something very important beyond that. How special is your calling? And how many churches of God have been modified, genetically modified, if we could put it that way, GMO gospel, GMO ministry, GMO followers? Sad case, isn't it? Yes. I don't know how many people have told me over again, well, I've listened to you for 3 or 4 years and I learned more than 30 years in WCG or whatever it was. I don't take that as any compliment to me at all. I take that as a disastrous thing for the churches of God that they didn't do it all along. And that's why I pray for them every day. I don't get into church wars with them. They need to quit fighting each other. Look, we've got all eternity and eternal life ahead of us. Sonship of God ahead of us. Because as we're going to see, there are two very important seeds that we have. Number one, the Word of God, and number two, the begettal by God the Father, and to develop as the sons of God and develop the mind of Christ. Now, how important is that? Again, I ask, what is in a seed? Okay. So he says, verse 16, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and have not seen, and to hear what you hear and have not heard. Multiply that how many times over to this day. Look at what God has given to us. Look at the understanding that we find in the Word of God. Because we ask God for understanding. We ask God to guide us. We teach every one of the brethren, look to God the Father. You have direct access to Him. You are His future children. See, that's a tremendous thing to understand. And it doesn't matter if you're young or old, male or female. It doesn't matter your ethnic background. It doesn't matter how tall you are, how short you are, how skinny you are, how fat you are. Well, for us fat people, it may be a little different. But, you know. It matters, do you love God? See, because that is the nourishment with God's Spirit that will make you grow to produce what God wants within you. Just like putting the good seed in the good ground. Okay? Let's go ahead and take a break.